This episode is brought to you by Undeniably Dairy. Dairy farmers are more than farmers. They're climate caretakers. They see water as a precious resource. Most farmers recycle water up to four times, from chilling the milk to irrigating the crops. And some even use technology to turn manure into renewable energy. To learn more about what dairy farmers are doing to make their farms more sustainable, visit usdairy.com.
Hey, you guys, you are listening to the Oh Crap Potty Training Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Growacki, and I am the author of Oh Crap Potty Training and Oh Crap, I Have a Toddler. So today we're going to do a Q&A, and I'm going to jump right in so as not to waste your time. All right, question. We have been on block one for 2 months now. I can't keep clothing on this child now that she thinks she doesn't need them. The beginning went so well. She really almost self-initiated the process. We bought the potty, got it out of the box. She immediately wanted to sit on it and go. I was blown away. So we did the naked thing for 3 days with zero accidents and then tried to put some loose sweatpants on. She uses every single opportunity to get out of her clothing. We had to start putting her in the full zip pajamas because she would take off her bottoms and diaper after going to bed and then wet the bed. It is a wrestling match to get her in the clothes. And if we need to go somewhere, we just have to get her dressed and immediately walk out the door. But she also pees her pants after we get her in the car if we try to leave without the diaper on. So there's a couple of problems built into this that we need to separate out. So occasionally people will contact me and say, well, great. Now that I let my kid go naked for a day, they don't want to wear clothes. Guys, that's not my problem. A kid going naked for 1 day or bottomless, it's not a new rule or something. And that's also nothing to do with potty training. That's behavior. And that's up to you. Kids go naked after baths. You know, it's not like it's law. And so it's just not a potty training issue. And I don't know how to potty train without a kid being bottomless. I really don't. And that's a number one fail. Occasionally I'll have people contact me. One woman wrote me years ago and she was like, this is barbaric. How dare you suggest that my child be naked? Like, I don't know what her issue was, but I was like, don't your kids run around naked after their bath? Like, kids love not having clothes on. So that is a parental issue that needs to be solved, like however you discipline. And I don't feel comfortable, you know, telling parents how to do that, but you know, that just depends on you and your spouse and your value system. But the other thing is that you can't be in block one for 2 months. That's the problem. And I say this like very clearly on page 75 of the book, you can't stay in block one too long. And literally I'm on page 75. You don't want to stay in block one too long. This can result in only potty trained when naked kid. And unless you live in a nudist colony, it's not really potty trained. Again, block one doesn't have to be absolutely perfect. You just want an overall sense of progress. So then on page 112 and 113, and I know these because I quote it so often, I do show how to hand your child success. So when you're struggling, I find most people don't have a hard time in block one. Most people have a hard time going to clothes, right? Because that is the issue. When a child puts on pants, there's a layer of privacy. I almost think of pants as like a curtain, right? Like you can't see me, you know, and we know children have that weird magical thinking because when they play hide and go seek, they'll sit there and just cover their eyes and think that you can't see them, right? So it's a very similar thing when you put their pants on. So sometimes when a child is struggling with that, I call it the half and half, and it is on page 112 and 113 of the book where we keep it on for certain amounts of time, let them stay dry, right? Let them experience the pride of staying dry. For X amount of time, however old your child is when you start potty training, they have had that length of time in a diaper. So it's fascinating to me that so many people are like, this should be done in a day. Otherwise your kid's not ready. And I'm like, really? Because I got 2 years in a diaper and 2 days potty training. So you want to hand them success by, you know, putting on clothes slowly. But in this particular case, again, like, first of all, 2 months naked is way too long. So if I were you, I'd just reset and start over again and deal with the clothing issue first, because, you know, it sounds like the two problems are convoluted, right? Like she won't put her clothes on, so then we can't get the practice, right? But for 2 months to have no clothes on, that's at the habit, not the first couple of days. The first couple of days, that's when the half and half handing them success would have been better, right? again, you want, when handing them the success, you go, like, say you get a good pee, right, in the morning, and then you throw the pants on, you run a, like, a small errand or something, or, you know, even go around the block or even around the house, just keep the pants on, and then you take them off again after a quick amount of time. What we want to do is activate their self-pride. Is like, oh, I stayed dry. They don't know that's a thing, right? They don't know that's a thing yet. Like, oh, look at this. I stayed dry. This is what I'm going for. And so that's like handing them success. And so for some kids, we do have to finesse that a little bit. But again, you just don't want to stay bare bumped. Kids love to be naked. They do. Like, and so the longer you stay in block one, the more you are going to have that problem. But again, that's not a potty training problem. It's a behavioral thing that, you know, I've had kids who want to be naked well after being potty trained. It's, you know, however you're going to deal with that in your home. All right. Next question. I am a week into potty training my 22-month-old, and she's been amazing, grasped the process until yesterday and refuses to sit on the potty now and having a few accidents. What do I do? I can't go back now. So when a child refuses to sit on the potty and they were doing fine, that lets me know that probably you're putting too much pressure on the process and or asking too much, over prompting, trying to improve on it. So when I'm working with a private client, my favorite clients to work with are people who contact me before they even started the process, because when you have me by your side, you know, it goes pretty effortlessly right from the get-go because we can fix things as it happens, right? And so oftentimes, like, you know, parents are super nervous or super scared, or they've been like kind of scarred from a past attempt. So we're working together, and day one, day two, day three, it goes great. And so they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I'm like, yes, but now cool your jets. Don't try to improve on it. So as parents in any sort of process, we are continually we're trying to improve on things, right? If a little's good, more is better. So the kid starts, you know, doing really well, and the parents are like, oh yeah, they can do even better if I watch even closer, if I prompt a little bit more. Don't improve on it. Yeah. So that when a child starts refusing the potty, they're sick. They're sick of it. So something's happening. You're over prompting, or too much pressure is on the process. This is such a tightrope dance of like watching them, being on them like white on rice, but not being down their throat and not over prompting and not asking a ton and making the whole day about potty training. The whole day is about potty training in your head, but for your child, it shouldn't be, right? So to kind of fix this, number one, in a situation like this, I would literally, for some, like for a kid like this, I would just put the potty chair in the bathtub and have the child in the bathtub. And that way, you know, if you think the child has to pee, the potty chair is there. They can sit if they want, but if they pee in the tub, that's okay. And usually this just takes a couple of days to like get over the over prompting. Also at 22 months, you know, you can go back. There is wiggle room. That's the lower end of my spectrum for age. So if things start to go kooky, there's really no reason to like force this. If the kid is completely rebelling, it is okay to reset very quickly and go back to it. So just know that too. I find that parents are like really unwilling to do that sometimes. And at that age, we don't have to pressurize the process, right? We really do. You do have to when the kid's getting close to three. It has to be. And I hear parents all the time, I don't want to force him. He's almost four. Dude, you got to force him. He's starting to learn how to read. So, and you know, there's preschool and kindergarten, and there are ages at which we do have to put some pressure on the process, but 22 months, you have some wiggle room. So don't be crazy. Don't make yourself crazy. And if your kid starts rebelling, it usually is because you put too much pressure on it. And it's hard. It's really hard to back off that pressure. It really is. So I would easily, you can easily put the potty chair in the tub. That way, you know, she's in the vicinity. The potty chair is there. You don't have to be so pressurized because, you know, it's not going to be pee on your floor. It's just going to be in the tub. And again, that's just kind of a little bridge. Just like when a kid is standing to poop, what I do recommend is that we catch it in that little potty insert. And that is a bridge till they sit down. And it's usually not long. On that note, I am on day three with my almost 21-month-old. She is definitely demonstrating some resistance fear, and I think it might be privacy or overprompting related. So I'm taking your tips and getting creative. She also doesn't fully release her pee and will go multiple times within 30 minutes. We have done half clothes, just a shirt for on for day two and day three. I blocked off 7 full days to not have to go anywhere, but curious that if we don't feel super successful and ready for normal life after the 7 days, how do we go back to normal while still potty training her? We do have some weekly commitments like physical therapy, church events, and I want to help her the best I can, but I'm also expecting my second in 7 weeks, and there are just things that need to get done. Okay, so day three with a 21-month-old, again, the younger the child, the longer the learning curve. Like, if there is resistance, fear, you need to really kind of ascertain which it is. Okay. So resistance is almost always, again, over prompting, too much focus on the process. Fear is something else. So number one is I would try to ascertain which it is, because fear, I would definitely get a consult if you think it's fear, because that probably won't get better. Resistance, you got to back off the process. 3 days is never enough for me to even really help somebody, you guys. So we've all been just convinced that 3 days is when you potty train. If they're not getting it, they're not ready. Realistically, even with your average child, average age, you know, even at 30 months, 3 days isn't necessarily enough. You really have to give it 7 days. Now, I do say in the book, if you're under 24 months, we do have to factor in that there's less personality, right? That individuation process isn't happening, but there is a longer learning curve. And so I wouldn't judge anything at 3 days, and 7 days may not even be enough. The younger the child, we are looking at a longer learning curve. And I always say, give yourself 2 weeks. But this person wrote in at 3 days. And so my first thing is wait till 7 days. You don't even know till you get to 7 days. And I have seen so many kids flip on day 4 or 5, like parents in tears. They're going to give it one more night. The child sleeps on it, wakes up and is like, fine. So allow that click. I go with the click or the flip. Allow that to happen. And sometimes it really is day 5, day 6. So don't judge the process too much in the beginning. Now, when you are doing a child that young, and I love that you said that you're expecting your second, because I always recommend starting the child. If you are pregnant, start potty training your first child. It's easier to get, you know, even if your child regresses a little, they may not regress in potty training. They may regress in other ways, but even if they do regress a little, it's easier to get back on the rails than to start the process from scratch. And I'm here to tell you, I say this all the time, I only have one child, but I know from all my years of working with families, the leap from one child to two is the hardest transition. 2 to 3, 3 to 4 is not as hard as 1 to 2. You are not going to come up for air for a while. And then it's really hard when you have an infant to potty train, start potty training the older child. And then time, there's like too much time that goes on just by the nature of how long we can be pregnant, right? So I really recommend that you potty train before the second child is born. I always say 1 plus 1 in this situation equals 5. It's going to be a very tricky transition. So I would definitely keep going, mama, even though at 21 months, again, like I said to the last question, that's plenty of time, plenty of wiggle room to reset if you need to. Now, when you do have a younger child and you would like to continue potty training, that is when I would utilize things like a travel diaper. So the biggest thing about having commitments is the car, right? Because cleaning a car seat is a pain in the butt. And that's generally speaking when accidents will happen in the newly potty trained. So it's okay to use a diaper. Like if you get to that 7 days and you feel like, okay, we've got to do commitments, just keep potty training at home. And if you have to run out, you use a diaper for the car, for the physical therapy, for whatever you need to, and then just get home and take that diaper off. This often happens when a child is struggling at daycare too. It's like sometimes just to keep daycare happy, we have to put the child in a diaper. It's totally possible to keep potty training at home. Of course, it's going to extend the process by a little bit, but you do what you have to do, right? And again, mama, I would recommend this particularly for you since you are pregnant. That's sort of the game changer, right? Now, bear in mind, though, if your child is over 30 months, I would not recommend this, because usually over 30 months, we're dealing with strictly behavior and or anxiety. And so the child become very quickly reliant on the diaper. There's a real big distinction when you're potty training at 21 months to 31 months and, you know, the process that's going on in the child's.
Vaginas are absolute magic. And Ollie is here to give them the respect they deserve. That means shame-free supplements made with clinically studied ingredients to keep your pH in check and your pleasure a priority. Put yourself on top. Go to Ollie.com today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Ahead. Okay, so my assistant pointed out in answering questions that in all my show notes, she could not find anything about deep sleepers, that I often talk about light sleepers, and that I hardly talk about deep sleepers, particularly when we're talking about night training. So if you have a very deep sleeper, and a deep sleeper would be, you know, your fire alarm goes off in the house and the child doesn't hear it, that you're trying to night train, and maybe this is the child who will not only have an accident, but will be shivering in cold pee, lips are blue, and not wake up. So that's a deep, deep sleeper. And if you're struggling with night training, you may need a potty alarm. And there are several varieties. You can go to PottyMD has a good selection. You can also just Google potty alarms for nighttime. I usually don't recommend these until about 3.5. There's all different ones. There's Therapy. I think that is the most expensive, but also the best rated. Therapy, like P, like urine, P-E-E. I have great reviews from clients who use that. Again, I think it's the pricier and, but again, has the best reviews. There are all kinds of ones that hook to the child's underpants, and these alarms wake the child at the first sign of wetness. You want to look for certain features, particularly the alarm. You want it to have volume control, because the cheaper you go, the less bells and whistles you get, right? Like anything. And if you have one that doesn't have an alarm control, it's one setting for volume, and they are typically piercing, just piercing. And so I've heard from clients, like, it wakes up the house, it wakes up a newborn, and it startles the child. So look for a volume alarm, you know, a volume control. The other thing that I see when they're selling these potty training alarms is that a lot of times they tout a behavior chart. Oh, comes with a behavior chart. Do not do a behavior chart for night training, okay? When your child is peeing in their sleep, this is completely unconscious. So a behavior chart is super, it's not abusive, like, I don't want to say abusive, but it's really shitty. It's just shitty for the child. How about that? Because they can't control it. So if you give them a sticker for staying dry and the next night they don't stay dry and they don't get a sticker for their chart, that's shitty because they didn't control that, right? Same thing like praise. Like, you don't want to be like, oh my God, you stayed dry. This is great. Oh no, you wet yourself. This is unconscious, you guys. Like, during the day, that's okay, right? Because the child is conscious at that point, but in their sleep, they're not. So we don't want to do that to the kid. We don't want to deprive them of a quote unquote reward, or give them a reward for something that they're not in control of. That's not really fair. That's the word I'm looking for. It's not really fair to the child. So don't do that. And if it does come with a behavior chart, just throw it away. I don't love behavior charts at all. I think at this age, they don't make sense. If your kid likes a sticker, great. But the idea that a 2 or 3 year old can hold the thought, has the cognitive ability to say, in 7 days of staying dry, I'll get a bigger prize, it's nonsense. If that's happening for you, it's pure luck. So yeah, those are the things I would look for in a deep, 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 deep sleeper. Yeah. Okay. And a last question. All right. Just listen to your Reset podcast. We have a 3-year-old boy who will be 4 years old in 2 months. He has a younger sibling who's 8 months. He has said that he doesn't want to be big and wants us to keep taking care of him. We have done no training out of fear that he would hold poop and that our intervention would invite a power struggle. We have had potty gear and underwear out and available since he was 1 year old and assumed he would lead the way when ready. Something needs to change. Will your course cover this or would you recommend a consult? He seems anxious and emotionally unable to let go of the comfort of diapers. I saw the reset episode and went for it because I felt like I needed to reset my own method of child-led. Today, we asked our toddler to go into the bathroom where he needs to poop, even if he uses his diaper. He became very upset and held his poop for the first time ever. I have not read the book yet, and I have not done any training plan. I'm just offering what we thought was the right environment for him to jump in and do it. Okay, there's a lot to this question, and there's a lot going wrong. And I'm not coming down on this mama because she doesn't know, but in case you have a similar situation, let's go through it line by line. 3-year-old who will be 4 years old in 2 months. Okay. If you think of this process that it should be child-led, if you think that this is like, wait till they're ready, almost four, if your child is not ready, you absolutely 100% need to take the reins. Yes. That is too old to be in diapers. Now he says he doesn't want to be big and wants us to keep taking care of him. Okay. That means that you are way too much emphasizing, you're a big boy, you're a big boy. And that often happens when a sibling comes around and we need to chill that out, okay? You're a big boy, you're a big boy, you're a big boy. They don't want to be big. And I say it all the time in this podcast. Think of this from the child's point of view. They've got all these skills and then this lump of flesh comes home from the hospital or, you know, out of your bedroom and gets everything, everything they want. They're so cute. They get attention. They cry. So of course it looks like that. So in the book, I do talk about baby love and mama love. I've talked about that here a lot. Yes. We have not done no training out of fear that he would hold his poop and that our intervention would invite a power struggle. You cannot hold off developmental milestones out of fear. Okay. We don't not teach our kids to walk because we're afraid they're going to crack their head on the pavement. They may. Your child may hold their poop, but it doesn't mean that we extend the length of which they're not potty trained and diaper use. Okay. We have potty gear and underwear out and available since he was 1 year old and assumed he would lead the way when ready. Again, I would suggest starting with my book because I don't advise that. Now, 3 years have gone by. 3 years have gone by and your child didn't pick up the breadcrumbs, so to speak. Yes. So what's going to magically change in a day? So if you do want to go child-led, which go ahead, I don't care. But if your child doesn't pick up the breadcrumbs right away, they're just sitting around. He now sees underwear and potty gear in the corner. I'm sure there's clothes on top of it or whatever, right? It's not magical. It's not special. And again, I've said this time and time again, we don't just hang out in the bathroom, right? We don't let the child play in the toilet to get them used to it. They don't need to get used to these things. Yeah. Something needs to change. Yes. Would your course cover this or would you recommend a consult? I would definitely start with my book and I would recommend a consult because there's a lot you're dealing with. Yeah. He seems anxious and emotionally unable to let go of the comfort of diapers. So for this, like, how do you know that? So I think the biggest problem here is that there seems to be, okay, where it's child-led, we're just letting him go, but he seems anxious and emotional. So what you're doing is a half in and half out. And this is why I don't recommend putting the potty chair out so they can get used to it, because there's a hidden wish that the child's going to do it on their own. So you're kind of potty training. You're probably heavily suggesting potty training, but you're waiting for permission from your child. We don't wait for permission from our child to parent our child. Okay. We can't do that in any way, shape, or form. This comes up a lot in my other podcasts. Like, people have this like gentle parenting. Well, I'm waiting for her to be good. I'm waiting for her behavior to straighten out. You're asking permission to parent your child and you shouldn't be doing that. Okay. So I want to know how you know he seems anxious and emotionally if you're not potty training and waiting for him to be, you know, do it himself, how do you know he's emotionally attached and anxious? I saw the reset episode and went for it because I felt like I needed to reset my own method. Yes, I agree with you, mama. Reset your own headspace for sure. And I would, again, suggest my book because I have a whole section, Getting Your Head On Straight, right? This is rarely about the child. This is about us. Today, we asked our toddler to go into the bathroom when he needs to poop, even if he uses his diaper. He became very upset and held his poop for the first time ever. because you just did something so bizarre. He has for almost 4 years pooped in his diaper. And now you're like, go away, go into that room, go into the bathroom and poop in your diaper. That is what I call spinning plates. That is extraordinary measures. Why would you do that? Why would we? And think of how strange that is. He held his poop. First of all, okay, so I'm assuming he made some sort of indication that he had to poop, right? And then you said, go to the bathroom and poop in the bathroom using your diaper. How do you know he held his poop out of emotion? That's just weird. If you told me I had to go somewhere else to poop when I've just been pooping all along, it's a bizarre way to handle it. Yeah. Bathrooms are for using the toilet. So to send your child away in a diaper, it's weird to the child. So that's why you can't say he held his poop out of fear. He held his poop because you just did something very, very strange. And that's weird. He's like, okay, I guess I'll go to the bath. Like, that's just strange. So we don't do that. Like, if you're going to do something like that, take the diapers off and commit to it. You know, be the teacher, be the leader. I have not read the book yet. I have not done any training plan. I'm just offering what we thought was the right environment for him to jump in and do it. Okay. And I hear you loud and clear. And if people want to do child-led, I don't think potty training is always child-led. If you want to do it, that's great. You want to put things out. You want to set up the environment. That's perfect. But again, recognize that if the child isn't picking up those breadcrumbs in a short amount of time, it's going to lose all its magic. Just like if you put out a toy that you thought your child might like and they don't look at it for 2 months, what makes you think it's going to sit there on the floor? If they don't like it right away, they're not going to like it in 2 months, right? These ideas, you've set up the right environment for 3 years and he hasn't jumped in. So what's going to change tomorrow, right? Like all of a sudden he's going to be like, oh, hey, about those underpants. Yeah, I would like to try those underpants, right? So we have to jump in, okay? Now, what I do like about this mom is my assistant had replied and she did say, you know, now I'm understanding that he needs a firm, confident leader. And I have not been that because I've been fearful that he would hold poop. So I guess I'm just really, in this particular case, like, why so fearful about holding poop? Like, did the child have a history? If your child is a withholder in diapers, definitely get a consult. Yeah, because potty training can help. But we want to, if you're going to do the hard work of dealing with a withholder, you want to do it and get the poop on the potty. But we don't want to delay any developmental processes because we're afraid of something, right? As I said before, and 100%, you guys, if you think your child is anxious and then you go to child-led, that's not cool. You're letting your child's anxiety lead the process. You want to be the firm, confident leader because you want your child to know, I've got you. I've got your back, kid. Like, we don't let a child with anxiety lead because the anxiety is going to get worse, right? Anxiety spins out of control. So it's not your child leading the way. It's the anxiety leading the way. And that's when we as parents 100% have to intervene because we don't ever let anxiety lead, right? We want the child to know we've got them. We are confident. They can do it. They are capable. When we feed anxiety, when we give into a child's anxiety, what we're saying is, yes, you're right. This is scary. Taking off the diaper is scary. We're validating the anxiety. We're validating the fear. We can say, oof, I can see this is hard work for you. Yes, I can see that. And I know you can do it. Right? That's how we help a child work through their anxiety. Not saying, yep. Okay. We're not going to do that thing. Right? We validate their capability. All right. So that was a big one. And I want to be clear that that was a lot in that one question. And I'm not coming down on this mama. When we don't know, we don't know. But the reason I'm highlighting it is in case you are headed there, in case your child's 2.5 and you've put out all the potty gear and you're hoping that they're going to pick up the breadcrumbs. No. A child who, you know, if this like child-led potty training works, which I have seen kids who are just rock stars at potty training, like you suggest it and they run with it. They're like, all right, cool. I got this. That's great. But if that's going to happen, that's going to happen in a day or two. And There's no guarantee that it's going to happen. I think this is the message that I have to shove down people's throat, because everybody wants an easy potty training experience. So they put it off, thinking that this magical readiness is going to happen one day. And again, I'm dealing with 4, 5, and 6-year-olds. Now, I don't take clients over 4 years old. That's not potty training. That's something entirely else. Okay. So, and people get mad at me, like, how dare you not take my 6-year-old who I haven't potty trained yet? Mm-mm. Sorry, guys, you're going to need therapy for that. That's not potty training anymore. That's something else. So just know that there is a point. Do whatever you want. But by 3, 3.5, if your child isn't on board, you must attend to this and you must attend to their anxiety. Okay, I'm going to be quiet about that now. As always, I appreciate you listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Rock on.